Hi friends, welcome to season 3 of The Media Matters. I'm your host Chantel, and tonight I have the one and only Sophie with me for a super special series that will undoubtedly answer a lot of your questions. It is so beyond exciting to be back after a month-long hiatus. You guys have absolutely no idea how much I missed you. So I used the mini break to prep for season 3 of the show and work on other projects like the So Chantel YouTube channel, which has been ridiculous amount of fun. What's really cool about the new YouTube channel is that I get to connect with you guys in a whole new way, and it's making my universe go round and round and round. You don't even know. Like, I cannot even put it into words. That aside, being in front of the mic again feels so amazing. It feels so great. I can't wait to share this new series with you guys. And I mean, like, just recording it with Sophie was so much fun. And even though I know this stuff that we talked about, to hear it again and to carry on a conversation with Sophie about it, just, I don't know, it's like it lit me up. It really just sparked a lot of things for me. And it was like a really wonderful and healthy reminder of a lot of these things that you know, but you forget. Do you know what I mean? Okay, so without further ado, I just want to get into the episode because I cannot wait to share all of this stuff with you guys. I don't want to talk about anything else. This is it. I hope you guys enjoy it. If you do, please make sure you comment and let me know how you like it and if you want more content like this so we can make sure we get it for you. So here we go. So tonight, you guys, we are talking, I don't even know if I want to minimize this or not even minimize, but like niche it down and say, we're going to talk about this because we have a tendency to talk about a lot of stuff. So I'm going to say, we're going to start off with some meditation do's and don'ts. Is that a good way to say it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think that's a good way to say it. This is probably going to be more along the lines of guidelines.
Yeah.
You know, general guidelines that you can go by. This absolutely does not replace going to a class in person and having an instructor by any means, but it's some guidelines.
Yes, definitely guidelines. And we say this a lot in the show, various episodes. This is like tip of the iceberg. You need more resources. You need to consult a trained professional to dive deeper, to don't.
Well, we can talk about that too. Why we want to do, why you want to do something like that. There's a lot to be said regarding when you go to a class in person and you're in a class with other groups of people and you get to interact with those people. The teacher is interacting with you. You're interacting with the teacher. You can't get that from a YouTube channel. You can't get that
from
a book.
That's very true.
And you learn more because if you're someone that's doing energy work, you need to be present in the space in order to experience the energy for what it's worth. And that's not something you're going to get from a YouTube channel because the teacher's not really interacting with you. Even if it's a live channel, mm-hmm. the teacher can't see you and interact with you and see what's going on. And what you're looking at through video isn't going to be the actual raw energy that you should be experiencing or feeling. Nothing replaces an in-person class attendance.
It's true. It's true. And I will say from my firsthand experience of being in your classes that it has been so beneficial to have someone right there on the spot. And I will say it's true for when we meditate in class. It's true when we're doing a healing session during class, when we're just sitting around the table talking. I mean, it doesn't matter. I will lock eyes with Sophie and I'm like, you know, telepathically, yo, so what is up?
Yes.
I feel something. I see something. And she'll like give me a head nod or something and, you know, validation. And we talk about it later. Or if we can talk about it in the moment, we do. But it's been super helpful. And I know not everybody has that. So we're going to talk about that as well, because mm-hmm. it doesn't mean you cannot meditate. It doesn't mean halt everything. We will give you some basic guidelines, things that you can do to make sure that you are protected and you know what you're doing, because, you know, this is definitely not to say like, don't do it.
Oh, absolutely not.
Not at all. Because meditation is super important. So That said, I remember when I got into doing energy work and I started my Reiki level one. And for the sake of this episode and this topic, we'll talk in like terms of Reiki because that's what we were doing at the time. And getting into it and getting into meditation, there were times when, and that's the first time I had ever meditated, was once I started doing the energy work. And there were times when I would go into meditation and come right back out because I would open my eyes and just like halt everything because I would see shadows or I would feel people touching me. I'd feel cool, warm. I would vibrate. I would like, I mean, it was the gamut. And it was scary because I didn't know what was going on. And I'm like, who the heck is here? And there were so many changes at that time and so many things that were opening up. And it was, meditation was a lot of colors and a lot of traveling and a lot of, and it happened so fast. Mm-hmm. And I am so grateful that I had you and the rest of my peers,
yes,
to bounce things off of and to say, hey, is anyone going through this? Has anyone experienced this? And at a minimum, Sophie would always pipe up and say yes, at a minimum. And it was so nice to have that because I think otherwise I would have just been like, I'm out. Like, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know who's buzzing around. And it never felt negative, but it still is jarring because you don't, you're like, I know I'm here. My three dogs are here and that's it for living people. So what the hell?
Correct.
And it was scary. And I made sure, and I want to say that when we first started, one of the rules was make sure that you are meditating in the daytime hours.
Correct.
Not when it's dark out, because we just weren't there yet. Mm-hmm. And there's something very important about, you know, something very important in healing and, you know, so many other adjectives we could use, and about making sure that there is sunshine on you, you know, meditating in the sun, the first Correct. Sunlight of the day, and so on and so on. And so I did a lot of that. Had never been chummier with the sunshine than when I was meditating. It was, you know, two birds, one stone, because I was tanning and,
and you could do it under the
evolving.
Trees. Yeah. I'm UV sensitive, so I actually do it under the trees or under a tent, but it's still daylight. Oh, yeah, it's
that's
still
nice.
Daylight. Yeah.
Well, do you remember my fear of like sitting against a tree? It's the ants.
Yeah. Yeah. Get a chair. It's okay.
Yeah. Like, I want to touch you, tree, but I know there are things on you. So let's talk about that if we could. And so I remember having these experiences and it being pretty scary for me and not knowing what to do, what these things were, where I was, because I would also travel during meditation. And that's, you know, early on, that's when I picked up a hitchhiker. Mm-hmm. And what was it like for you when you first started? Because, I mean, it was, your experience is a little different where you denied, like you knew you had things going on. Mm-hmm. And you had denied it for a time.
My meditation started long, long, long time ago when I was a kid. And we would do the meditation as far as martial arts, you know, get centered and everything. And as a kid, and it's freaking impossible mm-hmm. to sit still. But, you know, and then I dropped off of meditation for a while. I didn't do it for a long, long while because adult life. And then I came back into meditation on and off. By myself, or I would test out different teachers. And I finally found one teacher who I'm still with. I've been with him for over a decade now. He's wonderful. But one of the things that I don't think most people realize is that when you start meditation, it's a terrible experience. Because what happens is you sit down in quietness. You are now sitting and sinking into yourself. And now you're going to have to face all the crap that you are carrying. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that includes other entities that have hitchhiked on you. You're suddenly aware of them because you're in silence now. You're quiet within your body. Well, they're not quiet and they're going to mess with you. You're going to itch. Your temperature on your body is going to go from really, really hot to really, really cold. It's going to feel like someone's sniffing or breathing on you. If you think about it, going about your day, you're busy. You're thinking about driving. You're thinking about working. You're thinking about doing all these things. Those things are always there. But now you're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. You're sitting there in silence. So now you are 100% aware of the things that are sitting within your auric field. And for a lot of people, it is frightening. Mm-hmm. It is it's jarring. It's very jarring because you know, you would like to think, hey, I'm cool, everything's fine, until you sit in stillness and then you realize, wait a minute, what? Why do I see these shadows? Or why does it feel like something's touching me? Or why is my skin prickly? Or why does it feel like there's ants crawling all over my body?
Mm-hmm.
That's all the crud that you've collected in your lifetime that you've not taken the time to clean off. And the only real way of doing that is through energy work. And so you're sitting at, you know, think about it as a lake. You know, my teacher mentioned this scenario here. You're in a lake. The lake's nice and calm. Everything's clear. You're happy. You're skimming the surface. You're perfectly fine. Well, meditation takes you down to the bottom of the lake, and it stirs up the water. And
you're down there with Jason Voorhees, guys.
Yes. And you're mucking up, you know, the dirt's all around you now, and it's dirty and it's murky and you can't see. That is what meditation is. You're sinking deep into yourself, and the point of meditation is to get all that crap out of you. But it's not a pleasant experience.
That is an amazing analogy. I never thought about it like that. Mm-hmm. And I gotta say, I honestly never looked at meditation as like clearing the muck off. I always think of it as, which is part of it, and it's like this beautiful evolution. Like, it becomes beautiful.
It becomes beautiful.
It can become beautiful.
But first, you're dirty.
Yes.
You got to get that dirt off.
And you're right. That's a great way to put it. I never thought about it like that. Mm-hmm. But even going through all those experiences, I never thought like, oh, this is, you know, part of the steps. Mm-hmm. I just thought, what the fuck?
And the main reason I have the students meditate in the sun is because all those shadows, all those ant feelings, mm-hmm. all that, they hate the sun.
Mm-hmm.
They hate it. So what's going to burn it off faster? Sitting in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Or, and you don't have to sit out in the sun without sunblock and fry, you know. Please don't do that.
Don't be me, guys. No skin cancer, please.
Do it under a tree, or you can do it under a tent. You know, you can do it in the shade. That's, you know, that's fine. But the whole point is, do it during the daylight hours. The rising sun is the best sun that you can possibly do it under. It's brand new day, brand new rising. The sun is not as intense as a midday sun.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're meditating, yeah, that stuff's going to surface. And mm-hmm. it surfaced through crawling through you. I mean, it's deep, deep inside of you. Like it or not, it's deep inside of you. It's going to crawl out because now you're shaking it up, right? And as soon as it hits that sunlight, it's going to like, eh! And it's going to dissipate and it's going to leave you. So, but that takes time and it takes a lot of perseverance and it takes you, fear is one of those things. So a lot of fear is going to rise up. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these things we're talking about isn't necessarily entities, but it's emotions.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fear, sadness, happiness, anger. All of those things are going to rise up. And the best thing you can do is just let it happen, let it go. And if you do it in the sunlight, let it burn it off.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause sun is energy too.
Yes, it is. And it's like the next best thing to like sitting in fire, which is direct burning.
Mm-hmm.
And it was super helpful to do that. And I do remember early on in the journey, and even it still happens now, like, you know, I'll become emotional and it's really positive, or it could be negative, or it could, I mean, it's all kinds of stuff. But I have become more comfortable with just letting it ride and mm-hmm. feeling it out. And, you know, sometimes I'm not ready and I'm like, OK, we'll loop back to this. We'll circle back, because right now is not the time.
But you have an understanding of what's happening now.
Right.
Versus it being, you know, I close my eyes and is this place suddenly haunted?
Right.
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 Well, it kind of is, but that haunting's inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not anything outside of you. If you're in your house, and now if you walk into someone else's house and it could be you or it could be the house. I've meditated in haunted places before. That's kind of weird. Don't do that. Don't do that.
I was like, what?
Well, it was in one of the locations that my teacher, so he travels around to different locations to meditate in, and I just follow where he goes. And one of the places he liked to meditate in is trying to think of what you call it when people rent rooms out. It's not a...
Is it like an Airbnb or a...
Similar to that, but a hostel.
Oh, a hostel.
Yeah, it was a hostel. One of the places was a hostel. But the hostel was highly haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely haunted. But, you know, and he would say, oh, we're protected in this area, this, that, and the other. And, you know, I've got the room cleared. And But I tell you what, I close my eyes and that they got some fools, you know, when I can see the dude or it staring at me, mm-hmm. sniffing at me. Yes, I'm protected, but at the same time, I'm being stared at when I'm trying to meditate. That is not cool.
I can't focus.
He did not come from me because all of us can hear him.
Right.
You know, he's throwing things around in the back room. So things like that, I wouldn't recommend. Mm-hmm. But I would recommend on your own property, meditating there, because that's your safe space. Mm-hmm. Go where you feel really, really safe to do it at. Don't go to a cemetery. Don't go to a public park. Go to your home and do it in your home. Or in your front yard or in your backyard, that is the best place to do it until you feel comfortable and strong enough to do it in other places.
So if you feel, let's say you're meditating at home or in a space that you're really comfortable in, mm-hmm. if you know already that you have activity going on in your home,
do it outside.
Okay. You knew where I was going.
Go outside.
I've gotten that question before mm-hmm. about, or not even a question, but just
outside in the sun.
Hey, this is, you know, so to move indoors and meditate and you have things going on, what would you recommend? Or
first I'd recommend why do you have activity in your house? And if you're okay with that,
then so be it.
Then, yeah, it is what it is. But if you're not okay with that, you might want to address as to why that there's activity going on in your house. And that's a multitude of reasons. That is something where if you don't know what's happening, you need to hire a professional to come in and evaluate the situation, because it could be an outside entity causing activity in the mm-hmm. house. It could have been something you brought in, like an antique, that's causing it. It could be you causing it. Mm-hmm. And on an emotional level, you're causing a poltergeist happening in your house. That's where you need a professional to come in.
Yes.
So, there's too many situations to talk about there. But if you have activity in your house, then you need to address that separately from your meditation. And your meditation, I would do it outside. You know, outside is probably the safest space for you
to do. In the sunshine. Okay, so meditating and protecting yourself. We know the sun is an incredible resource mm-hmm. and is like, if you have sunshine, then you don't really need anything else.
If you're a beginner, it's the easiest way to protect yourself.
So what other tools can people use to protect themselves when they're meditating?
Sit up when you're meditating. Do not lay down. That puts you in far too vulnerable a position. And sitting up, you don't have to sit up like the traditional monk sit up or anything like that. You can sit in a lounge chair. That's fine. You know, cross your ankles, you know, clasp your hands. That kind of forms a solid energy field around yourself. You know, it forms a natural egg of energy there. Mm-hmm. And when you're in the sunlight, that sunlight will help energize that egg and keep you protected. Other than that, that is the bare basics that you really need to do. You don't need to, I wouldn't recommend putting any crystals on you or symbolic things or anything of that nature, because you need to learn how to manage yourself first. I know that a lot of people, they look up crystals. Well, this crystal will protect me and this crystal will do that. Well, it doesn't really help you, because a crystal emphasizes what's already there. And if you don't know how to do it, it's got nothing to emphasize. So the first thing you need to do is just the very basics. Sit up, cross your ankles, clasp your hands, do it in the early morning sun. Give yourself 5 to 15 minutes of silence, and then you're done. And mm-hmm. just do that every day and see how things go. And you're going to feel disturbed at the first several days, weeks, months, years. Not kidding. But if you keep at it, it gets better. And
oh, definitely.
So long as you can understand that the stuff that you're seeing that's bothering you is stuff that you need to let go of, because that stuff is really coming out of you. So the fear, there's no fear. You should realize you shouldn't be fearing what's coming out of you. What you should be doing is facing what's coming out of you and letting it go. And that's really hard. That's really hard to do. It's hard to, you know, decide that this monster is coming out of here. This possibly can't be me. Well, sorry, it probably is. Mm-hmm. And you just need to let it go.
Yeah. And even if you've been meditating for a long time and you feel like you're far advanced, you can still pick stuff up. We talk about this all the time.
On a regular basis.
Yeah, it's like picking up germs off of any, you know, exposed surface. It's the same thing. And don't think that you are immune to hitchhikers or anything because you've been doing it for so long. Like, yeah, this stuff, like, there is no one's safe. Like, I'll just say, you know what I mean? Like,
it's a lot like saying, I never get sick.
Yes.
You may not get sick for a long, long time, but every now and then you might get the sniffles or you might get an allergy attack or right. things like that. It's the same situation. And to be honest, once any person is squeaky, squeaky, super duper clean, they die. There's no reason to be on the planet anymore.
Oh, look at that. See?
So we're constantly learning.
We just had an Oprah moment, guys. Oprah moment.
Yeah. We're constantly cleaning. We're constantly evolving. We're mm-hmm. constantly trying to learn. And then when we get to that squeaky, clean, awesomeness state, you shed your meat suit. There's no point in being on this planet anymore. School's over.
So there you go. That is incentive to just stay a little dirty.
Stay a little dirty or keep meditating. You know?
Go roll around in the dirt, guys. That is impressive. Oh my gosh. I like that. I never thought about it like that. And we have talked about that, the meat suit, so to speak, in different arenas, but mm-hmm. not specific to this. Mm-hmm. And that, it just makes so much sense. You're like Oprah. This is, or Yoda. I think you're like Yoda.
No. Yoda's way cuter.
A little baby
and
Yoda.
Way smarter.
I don't know. I think you could take Yoda and all this energy work because, good Lord. Man. Okay. So you've been, say like you've meditated for a while or a long time. You're comfortable. You have a rhythm, whatever. And life gets in the way. You stop for a while. You want to go back to it. And you just don't feel as magical. I've heard about this too, mm-hmm. where people are like, it used to be mega exciting and now I just feel like I can't quite get there. Like I can't.
You just keep trying. I totally admit, I feel like I start over every few months. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like nothing's happening. What's going on? I feel like I don't even know how to meditate now. I can't get, you know, I have a certain exercise that I mentally do mm-hmm. to get me into meditation. Like, what, you know, there's a roadblock there. You just keep trying mm-hmm. Because that's part of the process. That means you've got a blockage happening.
Right.
So you just got to keep breaking through. And then suddenly be like, oh, okay. I'm back in my space.
It'll come.
But you also have to think about that. It's not going to stay the same. And it shouldn't. Because if it does, that means you're not getting stronger.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Because as you get stronger and you dig deeper into your muck, then more and more things are going to come up and challenge you. And that's a good thing. That is really a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's frustrating because you feel like, oh, I'm starting all over again. But that, if you step back and look at it, it's like, wait, I'm dealing with a different obstacle now. Mm-hmm. So let's see if I can overcome this obstacle.
That makes good sense. In your opinion, how important is it to meditate and journal together?
I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely awesome. I don't always do it. You know,
yeah, I definitely don't.
I take mental notes in my head. You know, I have a pretty good head about what's going on in my, you know, for each of my things. But I think journaling is awesome because what happens is over a course of several weeks or months, you'll stop, go back and read. And you'll feel like you're reading a different person.
Wow.
Than you are today.
I like that.
So you really should journal.
I like that
because
a lot.
That's the only physical evidence of your involvement.
I like
of what's
that.
Happening.
And I'm torn about journaling because I like being able to see the growth and the changes, positive, negative, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like it's all real stuff. There's another side of me that doesn't want a written record of some things because I feel like it's just kind of like holding on to something negative or
I burn it.
Oh, that's good.
I burn it. So what I've done is I'll have this journal and I'll journal for a while. And then I'll reach some point where I want to go and reflect and I'll go through and reflect. I'm like, you know what? This isn't me anymore. I rip those pages out and I burn them and I'm done.
I like, so you don't burn the whole journal, just the ones.
Yeah, just the page. Yeah,
oh,
just a few pages.
I never thought about doing that.
Yeah.
And that has been my struggle. And I'll say, since I was little, I didn't like holding on to if I wrote about bad dreams, if I wrote about a bad day, mm-hmm. whatever it was, fighting with a friend. Like I was just felt so icky holding that. And, mm-hmm. you know, ever anytime I went back to read it like years later, I was like, ugh, like it just kind of made me feel heavy. And I love
just get
that.
Rid of it.
I super just, love that.
Just like, oh, my gosh, I had this experience. This doesn't make me feel good anymore.
Yeah. Rip,
fire it up.
I never thought about doing that. Oh, I'm going to be a lot of burning going on, y'all.
Beach striding.
I love that because it really opens up that door now where I will comfortably journal that stuff from now on and reach a point where I will do a house cleaning mm-hmm. and say, okay, this has to go. Or it might be even be immediate where I'm like, I don't want a written record of this in this book. This book yeah. is special to me. So exactly. I'm going to write it to get it out and then just...
I think there's a lot of misconceptions that, you know, when you keep a diary and you write pages down that you have to keep all the pages. No, you don't. It's yours. You do what you want. And if it's something that you read about yourself that you wrote, that's part of your life and you're not comfortable with anymore, get rid of it.
And here's, I will say, one of the biggest things I have learned from you since we started doing all of this, since I met you is, and this has become more true like the further into our relationship mm-hmm. is that I don't want to say this and make it sound like everything we've done is a waste because that's not at all what I mean, mm-hmm. but it's almost like wipe it clean. There are no rules.
Yes.
And obviously as a beginner, that's not the way. Those things are in place for a reason to keep us safe and to help mm-hmm. us grow. But as we evolve and mature and advance on the journey, learning that has been so, like, it almost threw me back. I'm like, what? Like, I thrive on routine. I mm-hmm. thrive on, like, if you need me to help you with something, tell me exactly what you need me to do. And because I'm such a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. And so I just work really well when I know like A to Z what you want from mm-hmm. me. And when it's left to me, I'm like, this doesn't work.
The looks on y'all's faces on level 3, it cracked me up because because level one is rule based. Mm-hmm. You know, I am pretty strict. You put your hands here. You do this. This is. Mm-hmm. You know, I break it down because you're beginners. You know, I need y'all to be able to crawl from yeah. point A to point
little
B.
Little babies.
And then level 2, it's not so stringent. You know, I'm starting to help. I give you guys guidelines. Now it's not rules anymore. It's guidelines. Right. Hey, you might want to do it this way. And then level 3, I put my experiences out here and I give y'all assignments. And then you're mm-hmm. expecting me to give you some, I don't know, rules, guidelines or something. And I'm looking at you like, do what you want. This is what I want. This is what I want from your test. I want you to produce this.
Right.
And it's like, well, how? I don't care. However it yeah, works for you.
It was mostly like, well, you tell me. And we're like, what?
And what I'm forcing you to do is to logically think through different situations mm-hmm. because I'm not going to be around all the time. And the whole point of my teaching anyway is to get you to trained to be able to think for yourself and work through different situations. And what I'm only here to do is to expose you to as many situations as I can mm-hmm. to get you guys to logically think through all this tool set you've been given. What do I need to do in this particular situation?
Right.
And that's what all teachers should be doing. You know, they can give you guidelines and all these rules and things of this nature, but you also should be learning how to logically think through a crisis or logically think through a situation where you're trying to help yourself or help somebody else. You know, I'm not a 911 caller.
Right.
You know, so I need each student to be able to learn how to think for themselves.
That's amazing. So going off of that, let's talk about, you know, we have the luxury of having you and we're, you know, I know you've said some students have called you at, you know, 1 a.m. or something, which is insanity.
Yeah, don't do that.
Please don't do that, guys.
I'm pretty grumpy when someone wakes me up.
Yeah. But there have been times, I'll speak for me, where I'll text you and I'll say, Sophie, you know, I'm experiencing this and I don't know what to do. And you'll say, you know, it could be whatever and try this or, mm-hmm. and I love that. I mm-hmm. love that I have that luxury. And I feel for the people that don't and that don't know where to start and that don't. So you know, going off of the meditation, let's actually talk about a starting point and working mm-hmm. with somebody and how you find that person, because there are so many people online, on YouTube, podcasting, wherever yep. that present as professionals, as super knowledgeable. And if you guys remember, the premise of this show, of the entire podcast, is that's not this show. Like, we're learning together, and I yeah. will share my experiences. The friends I have on will share their experiences, but
and I'm still learning.
Yes.
Every day.
And I remember you saying that way back in level 1, 2, and 3, like, we're going to keep learning. And when you stop learning and when you stop needing to learn, that's when I think that's where the meat suit thing came in. Mm-hmm. Like, then mm-hmm. you're done. Like, you're done when in this lifeline. Yeah. So we have that luxury. We have you. We can reach out to you during our classes, post class, during our Reiki shares, like whatever it is. But for the people that don't have that and either know they have some abilities that they want to tap into, or they just feel called to do energy work and they want to start with meditation or whatever it is, how do they find someone that is reliable, someone that knows what they're talking about? Because I think, you know, sometimes we don't listen to our gut mm-hmm. and we're like, oh, cool. We're so drawn to do something, so quote unquote called to do something. And we will go with the first bidder because we're just so excited and pumped to do it.
Right.
And we ignore the signs. Phase. Yes. We'll ignore the signs. So what do you recommend for the average person that hasn't done any kind of energy work, or maybe has on a basic level mm-hmm. on their own without the assistance of a trained professional? How do you find that trained professional?
Well, one of the things that I recommend is get a session from them. You know, first you can try getting a session from them and it feels good and everything. The next thing you need to do is you need to interview your teacher. A lot of people don't. Now, in my field, and where I practice, I have to be licensed, insured. I have to take continuing education courses. I mean, I am legally in business for this. Mm-hmm. And that's the first thing you need to look at. You know, is this person legally in business to do this?
And that's a state by state requirement.
Yes, it is. It's a state by state, country by country requirement. Mm-hmm. The next thing you need to do, get a session from the person. Does it feel good? Okay. Now, if it's someone that teaches, you want to ask them questions, okay? You want to ask them things like, what's your course about? You know, and they're not going to give you the nitty gritty, this, that, and the other. But one of the things that I do in my particular courses is that I am a real stickler on teaching protection, because you can't do energy work without it. I absolutely do not believe in, oh, if I believe in God, God protects me no matter what, and nothing bad will ever happen to me. Sorry, but that's bull hockey to me. Mm-hmm. Okay. You need to be able to protect yourself. And I don't think that blind faith is enough, but that's just my opinion. You know, everybody is absolutely different, but you need to ask questions like, how many people is going to be in your course, and do I get hands-on training, and, what happens after the course? Okay. A lot of times when you take energy courses, you sign up for a course. The course is a day or two or three long. And then after that, teacher's done with you. Students are done with you. You're on your own. So if you, and I will say this about energy work, you go through a cellular transformation. Okay. That transformation takes place over a course of several days, months. It is not a pleasant experience for a lot of people. For my courses, level one is a 2-day course in class. But guess what? The next 21 days, you're stuck with me online and I'm checking on you. And I put you in a private group where all the students are together so that you have a safe space to communicate and that we are all supporting each other. That's almost a 30-day course. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you think about it that way, after that, yeah, you're kind of on your own. But at the same time, I do 2 to 4 shares a year where everybody comes in for free. you get cleaned up. Any questions you have, we take care of it right then and there. And that's for all my students. You need to ask those questions. Okay, when we're done with this course, do you have a support system afterwards? Yes or no? And not every teacher is going to have one. Right. And that's to say that they should have one is unfair because they may not have time to do it. Mm-hmm. This is just the way I do things. And a lot of times they may say, well, no, there's not. But if you have problems, then you make an appointment, which is also a boundary respect type of thing. Mm-hmm. If something major was going on with one of the students, you guys make an appointment with me and we do like a regular appointment type mm-hmm. thing. But otherwise, you guys know that you have those shares to come to where you can get free sessions, things of that nature. And you can come back and repeat any class that you want for free once you've paid for the initial class. Mm-hmm. So those are the things you need to ask. You know, what are follow-up courses? Do I get to come back if I need to retake the course? A support system afterwards. There's a lot of people that get attunement or rehu or attunements or quickenings, depending on what you go through. And then after that, they're going through a transformation, but they've got no support system. That's not cool. To me, that's not cool because it can be very difficult. It is life-changing. Oh, yeah. Absolutely life-changing. Oh, yeah. And things will happen such as, you know, you may have things going on at work because you're looking at things differently. You may have things going on with your significant other because you're looking at things differently. There's going to be a lot of tension in different places. And if you don't have a support system, that could really turn your world upside down because your world's already turned upside down, mm-hmm. but you're changing, you're rebirthing yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would ask, you know, what's involved with your course and then what kind of support system do you have afterwards?
Yeah.
And if there's a fee for it, then fine. You know, that's fair enough. That I'm not going to say how another instructor should do their curriculum, but be aware of that as well.
No, I totally agree. And I'm so glad. I mean, I obviously can speak to this because it's my experience, but I'm so glad that you have that period after the class where mm-hmm. we're required to go through this cleanse or whatever. I mean, I'll say required.
You're going to go through the cleanse regardless of me or not.
Right. Do whatever the hell you want to do. But you give us very clear guidelines on what you can likely expect, how to handle it, what to do when, what to eat,
every single day.
Yeah, you guys, she breaks it down. Like Sophie really puts a lot of time and energy into this, and a lot of professionals do. And mm-hmm. so if not for that, like I would have bowed out. I would have been done because I don't know how many times I came to you after level one and within that 21 day period. And even after that, where I was like, listen, I can't sleep. Like I'm not sleeping. Things are touching me. I am hearing stuff. I am like, it was so intense. Mm-hmm. And without you, I think I would have been one of those students that said, I'm done. Like, I'm shutting this down. But at that point, there is no shutting it down. Like, it's with you forever on some level.
Yeah.
And to live like that on my own, I don't even know where I would be right now if not for all of that guidance, because it was scary as hell. And it's not just... I don't know how to word this. Like, it's not just feeling things or being woken up at night or things. I mean, it's physical things. Like, I suddenly have this ache in my freaking elbow that I've never had before, or I have, you know, like,
yeah, your body hurts.
Everything is going through a change. Everything.
Yeah.
And if someone doesn't explain that to you, then, and it's not because like, oh, we're talking about so much stuff and I forgot to mention, it's not that. Like, if they have a curriculum, that should be part of the curriculum. Mm-hmm. This is stuff you can expect, guys. This is what's coming. All of your bodies, they're going to experience some crap, and some of it's going to feel great. Some of it's going to feel super crappy. You may cry for days. You may not get out of bed for days. Like, it is.
Don't make any major decisions.
No. Yeah. Oh my God.
Because you're going to be so wound up, but it's because all these changes are happening to you.
Right.
And you made a conscious decision to do this kind of work. Well, in order to do energy work, you have to change, because you are now going to become a vessel for this type mm-hmm. of work. So your vessel has got to adjust. That's and make true. Changes, and it's not going to feel good. And one of the things that I have to say that is a huge pet peeve of mine, because we have a ton of energy teachers in this area, a ton of them. Mm-hmm. And I run into students of other teachers all the time, and they're going through horrible, you know, a horrible transformation. And, you know, my teacher, one of my meditation teacher, you know, they'll be going through this because we're in the same class, and he'll say, well, Sophie can help you. And I'll look at him like,
no, she can't.
No, I can't, because I don't know
yeah.
what they took from that teacher. And to be honest, that teacher is the one that needs to make whatever energetic adjustments to their students to help them work through this. Mm-hmm. And I would never expect another teacher to take on responsibility for my students. You know, if one of my students is going through something, then I need to make an adjustment, and I can do that remotely.
Right.
So any teacher that does energy work that is really true, knows what they're doing, if their student is going through something, it doesn't matter how far away they are, we can do an adjustment.
Right.
We can tone things down and say, okay, but this is a little much. Let me do something for you to tone it down a little bit, calm it down, and you're going to be okay. But that's not something another teacher can do for somebody else, that because you're going through a transformation, and I don't know what kind of quickening you had. Mm-hmm. I don't know the lineage or who to tap into. And I shouldn't, because that's not my business to know, because you went to that other teacher. And a lot of times those students, they took classes like that. They went to their teacher, and they'll call the other teacher, and teacher's like, look, class is over, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something you need to be aware of. Because energy work, there is a transformation period that goes on with the majority of them. I haven't been in every curriculum, so I can't say.
Right.
But, you know, one of the school that I am a member of, they do quickenings. And it is 12 weeks of crap. It sucks. Oh my God, it sucks so bad. But it's worth it in the end. But in the meantime, you're like, I don't know if this is worth it. And I can't undo the clock. But my teacher is there with me, just like I am for my students. So that is something you need to talk about. And it's hugely important. If you're new to energy work, you need to find a teacher that's going to give you that support system after that class is over.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those teachers are hard to find, but this might change some of their minds.
Friends, that's a wrap on episode 1 of season 3 with our resident Sophie. We hope you enjoyed this thought-provoking content as much as we did. Thank you again for joining us for another Can't Miss episode and for a whole new season and tuning in week after week, month after month, year after year. You guys are so kick-ass, you have no idea. Don't forget to hang with me on Twitter at Media Matters and on Instagram at The Media Matters for even more love straight from my delicious heart. And for a mega dose of all things behind the scenes, make sure you check out the show's sister content on YouTube on the So Chantel channel. It is seriously as behind the scenes as it gets. Like, I don't even know how else to say that. While you're there, please make sure you subscribe, click on the notification bell so you get notified every time a new video goes live, and be sure to click like on those videos because all of that really, really, really supports my channel, and I appreciate it more than I could ever say. With that, you guys, we are donezo for the night, but we're back next week with an all-new episode of The Media Matters, which is going to be a continuation of this series. Same bat time, same bat channel as per usual. Until then, you guys, may your days be supernatural and extraordinary. Good night, everybody.